I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning, I want to start at 16, but something wants me to go back sooner. Yeah, let's start at 16. It's just 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Deacon Smith, would you read us 16 through 20, sir?
Sure. All right. Matthew 28, chapter, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted.
Yeah.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Mm-hmm.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just if you needed a title, teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things. I don't know, but one of the things that I feel strongly about is witnessing. And telling somebody else about Christ. Of all the things that the Lord has touched on me to do. And, you know, I preach and pastor. But I feel of all the things he asked me to do, he wants me, just like he wants every one of us, to tell somebody who don't know Jesus. I don't know, but my greatest excitement that I've had in the gospel is when I led somebody to Christ. And I saw the change in their life. I think about it all the time. You all remember a man I told you about. You might not have been here, so most of you probably don't. But a man named Treetop.
Yeah.
From my hometown down in Lewis. We had a little property there. He was renting from us, and his wife was not the most faithful woman. Now, Treetop means he was a tall fella. And we were working on a house next to the one that he was living on, digging in and making a basement in it. And the basement is 7 foot tall. And he came in the basement like this, at 7 foot tall. He was doing this stuff. And Treetop, I had called him, I heard him crying, walking down the road. I mean, a big man, and when he cried, his voice felt like it was vibrating the ground. Just a messed up man. They had two daughters. This was his only wife. He was a truck driver. And then his wife cheated on him while he was on the road. He talked about her incessantly before, so this man loved this woman, and he loved his family. You know, he had two daughters and his wife. He said, "I'm the only man in the house, and that's the way I love it, Reverend. I don't want no other man. I'm glad I ain't have no sons. I love my women in my house."
Yeah.
And then this one day, he was crying like a baby. He didn't know that I was next door working on his house, and I hollered out from the basement of the house, "Treetop, that's you?" He said, "Who's that? Who's that?" I said, "Reverend Hall." "Oh, what's going on, Reverend?" I said, "No, well, you crying, man. You sound like a baby under here. What's going on?" He said, "I ain't crying, man. What are you talking about?" You know, and sniffing all the same time, tears. He said, "Man, I just found out my wife was dishonest with me. She's been cheating on me." He said, Reverend, when she told me, it took everything in me to walk out that door.
Yeah.
He said, she hurt me so bad that I wanted to smash her. Mm-hmm. He says, something just told me to walk out.
That's right.
And I walked out the door. So it was one of the worst feelings I've ever had in my life. He said, women don't cheat on me. That's not, I'm treetop, you know. They don't cheat on me. Not me. I said, treetop, you have to know that everybody has faults.
Yes.
Just like you have them, your wife has them. Your children have it. Everybody has faults. It might not be the same faults, but everybody has faults. He said, I don't want to hear all that stuff. I said, well, look, preacher, come in here for a minute. He came in the basement. I said, there's only one way to help you to overcome when people do wrong. Because you can't go around knocking people side of the head that done you wrong. You can't make up for that. You don't have no authority to go around hurting people just because they hurt you. You can't do it. You gotta find Jesus. He said, well, it ain't gonna do it. I said, Jesus will change everything. He will change the way you look at being hurt. The way you resolve being hurt. Jesus will do that. He said, oh, well, that's stuff for y'all people, church. I said, you need to know this. This is how the rest of us make it. It's through Christ.
That's the truth.
He said, what do I have to do? You got to be born again. You got to be saved. He will relieve you.
My Lord.
So we prayed in that, under that basement. I call it my basement found, my basement salvation. I've had a basement salvation. Most people call it treetops or mountaintop experience. I had a basement experience with a man who found Christ. And that man accepted Jesus that day. And, you know, subsequent time went by and we hadn't seen each other. And about 4 years, I saw him after that. And he was going to a church that I was going to go to preach. He said, Rev, you here? I said, yeah. He said, this is where I go at. I said, I knew you would. Yes, I've been here. I've been here since that time in the basement. I said, praise the Lord. And I'm telling you the celebration that went over me that was. And he went on to tell me, I said, well, you know, when her divorce. The Lord has somebody else coming to me now.
Amen.
That we're going to get married. So my life has changed tremendously. My children are doing well. He said, I didn't think I could get to this point. But look what God has done.
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you, this was my opportunity to see how God has maneuvered somebody that I had an opportunity to witness to. I mean, there's a lot of good things. I mean, preaching the gospel is great. Sharing the good news is great. But when somebody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you had a hand in it. No more. You don't have no more than a hand in it. You don't get credit for nothing. But you at least were there to witness. And they accept Jesus and become born again. You know the heavens are roaring with praise. Somebody up there is saying, well, God, hallelujah. And you can't help but thank God for letting you have the opportunity to witness. That's the big thing. Everybody talking about, I want to be a preacher. I want to be this. I want to be that. Be a witness. Be a witness.
Amen.
Old song used to sing, Barbara, Sister Barbara, you know the song. I'm a witness, you're a witness. You heard that, remember that?
The old song.
Oh, that, yeah. My being a witness. Can't be a witness. Got to be a witness for the Lord. Something like that. I know, brother.
It's called Phil, Who Be a Witness?
Who Be a Witness?
Who Be a Witness for my Lord?
There you go.
Who Be a Witness
for
my Lord?
Amen. I know that was one of them old ones back there. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Great Commission. We are commissioned by Jesus Christ to tell the world that they must be born again. Commission. That means there's a price that has been paid for your service. What was that price? Jesus' blood on the cross was paid for you and I to do his work and his ministry. We must be evangelists and baptizing and teaching. So you look at what he said here. Now, I just want to look at a few words. It says, look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach.
Yeah.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. So when you teach and you baptize, you are evangelizing. You are evangelizing. So we evangelize, go out. Then we teach, then we baptize. We don't baptize, then teach. They got to have something to be baptized for. So you got to first evangelize, reach them, tell them, then teach them what thus said the Lord. And then you can baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We must be serious minded about the baptism, about the evangelism. Do you know there are some churches today that don't baptize anymore? They don't even think it's worthwhile. But see, the Bible, Jesus said this is a part that we need to do. That he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. That's what he told the apostles to do here. You and I are in those footsteps of the apostles, trying to lead everybody that we can to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All right, let's find this. What's the process, Reverend, for you and I to go in to minister to people through this teaching, evangelizing, and baptizing? First of all, we have to tell them. When you go and baptize, or when you go and evangelize, you got to first tell them who God is.
Yes.
You got to start there.
Yes.
Who God is. Because see, the problem is you can't leave them to assume that they know who God is. All they know is I heard of God, but they don't know who God is.
Yes.
The first thing, God is holy. So first thing when you come to God, you got to recognize that you're talking about and to a holy God. Holy means that he's set apart. Holy means that he and he alone. That even Moses had, the Bible said, he had to take off his shoes. Because the ground that he stood was what? Holy ground. You got to know that Jesus Christ and that God the Father demand holiness from those who are to serve him. You got to, he demands that from us. Holiness, because he's holy.
Yes.
Be ye holy as I am holy. That's what he says.
Yes.
So when he's holy, that means he's sanctified. That's the set apart part. See, when he's holy, he's nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Amen.
That's who he is. God is truth. There's no lie in God.
Amen.
There's no mistake in God. God is perfect. Everything he does is perfect.
Yes, sir.
He is righteous. He is all in all. That's who God is. Some people just don't recognize the holiness of God. They don't recognize the holiness of God. And see, when we miss that part, you miss the beginning. See, you approach him from the step that he's holy.
Yes.
In other words, you don't call go up with, what's happening, big dude? What? But see, I know I got a relative. He, you know, he says he go to church, but he said, yeah, my daddy. He's my daddy. I said, man, he's God. He's God. Now, I know you guys like to use that term interchangeably. He don't make it feel like you're closer. But first of all, you recognize him as God.
There it is.
That's it. Reverence. Thank you. Reverence. Bro, appreciate that. That's where we have to go with God. And if we don't let that be first, when we are trying to baptize and witness, then we have missed the mark. But we sit down and make it look like, no, you don't have to be a, God loves you. I know he loves you. But there's demands that God has on that love.
Yes, sir.
Demands.
That's right.
God is the light. He's the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. I'm the light of the world. God is also spirit. You got to let them know that God is also spirit. In other words, you can't see him with the natural eye, but you can see the impact of him with the natural eye. It's almost like the wind. You can't see the wind, but when the wind's out of control, it knocks down buildings.
Yes, it does.
It tears up store houses. The wind can do a whole lot of damage. You didn't see it, but you can't testify against it. But you say, yeah, that was the wind.
Yes, sir.
I know that was the wind. I heard it roar.
Yeah.
But did you see it? I saw what it did.
That's right.
I couldn't lay my eyes on the wind.
No.
This is where God is. I can't see him, but I know what he's done. I can see his presence. When somebody feels him, I can see the change in their lives. Look what he's done to change a sinner to become a born-again believer. That's a mighty, mighty powerful change.
My God.
Yes, sir.
My. God let me make up for last Sunday. Last Sunday, I felt like I left here. My Lord, I said, I don't know what happened there, but that dog did not hunt. And the day the Lord just changed me, put something in my back and said, stand up and be a man. I'm glad that he did. Oh, my. See, I'm going to tell you like this here. When I preach, I can go listen to my sermons. Thanks for what Reverend Marshall, I listen to my sermons, and I get excited all over again about them. And I go listen to them again. And somebody said, well, that sounds a little self-centered. Why don't you listen to somebody else? Because whatever God gave me, I believe he gave it to me. And I'm hearing the word of God.
Oh,
somebody don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I know. God is spirit. He's omnipresent, which means that he's always there. Everywhere. In Russia, he's there. In Florida, he's there. If you go to the uttermost parts of the world, he's there. If I made my bed in hell, he's there. He is everywhere. So he's omnipresent. He's also omnipotent, omnipowerful, omnipotent. He is omnipotent. In other words, whatever you need, God can make it happen. Whatever your supplies lack, God can give it to you. Wherever you be and whatever trouble you're in, God can lift you up out of the miry clay, set you on a rock to stand. He's all powerful. You might not know him as all powerful, but I want you to know to tell them that he is all powerful. God is omnipotent. He's also omniscient, all knowing. He knows just what you can bear. He knows when you cry a little blinding tears. He knows when you don't feel well. He knows when you get sick in the body, frustrated in the mind. God knows about it. He's there for you. You just got to lean on him and trust in him. Because he said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Ain't he all right? Tell somebody. Ain't he all right? I know he is. He's special. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's He's all right. He's all right. So once you have told them who they are, who God is, now you got to let them know who they are. This is the hardest part. This is the hardest part, right, man? He brought me water up here. Oh, here it is. I'm getting dizzy up here. We know who God is, but telling a person who they are, they might not like to hear who they are. And the Bible tells us who we are. The Bible says that we are nothing but filthy rags. Now here I'm going to try to witness to you, but I got to let you know that you're really nothing but filthy rags. You know what God is working with? You ain't gaining much to work with. No, none of us gaining much to work with. But look what he's done. Oh, hallelujah. Got to let them know that they're filthy rags. That they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That there was no good thing found among them. That all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's who we are. Whether we like it or not, we all have fallen short. That's the whole thing I was telling Treetop, that we're not there. Everybody made a mistake. All of us have our faults and our failures. We have a propensity to sin. In other words, we want to do sin more than we want to do what's right. That's just the way it is with the nature of man. We are Adam's children, and sometimes we act so much like Adam that you can't forget that he was your forefather. We also must let them know that you are a disobedient sinner. And you need salvation. I know they would say, well, wait a minute, you're trying to witness to me to have me saved, and you're going to tell me all this negative stuff about me. But the truth is what you need to hear. See, because if you don't get the truth, you cannot follow righteousness. You got to be truth. This is what's going on with the Republican Party today. The lie, the big lie. And the lie, and the lie, and they keep lying, adding on to lying. Nobody wants to look and follow the truth. But see, the truth shall set you free. And nobody wants that. The thing about you and me and the ones we're witnessing to, we're full of anger. That's why people are killing people. We're jealous of one another. We envy everybody. Our earthly home has more prevalence than our heavenly home. In other words, we'd rather be here than be up there. Somebody said, are you ready to die? Somebody said, well, not right now. I'm talking about you're going to meet Jesus. Not right now. I want to see him, but not right now. Well, when do you want to see him? Well, not right now. You go to him the next day. Do you want to see him today? Well, no, not right now. I want to stay here for a little while. Well, why don't you want to? I thought you loved Jesus so much. Well, I love Jesus, but not right now. We have limits on our love for him. But he loves us so much that he died for us. So, you let them know who God is. Let them know who they are. And then you begin to tell them how God can bring them to know God. How God can bring the unsaved to a position of salvation. The first thing you tell them is that you must be born again. You got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you cannot go, I don't care what Oprah says, there's no more ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Oprah says there's more than one way to God. You know it is. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And him crucified.
That's right.
There's only one way.
Only one way.
So others might try to teach you there is somebody else. No, there's not. You got to realize that you have to be born again. And that God can bring you truth and mercy. God is the one who can change your ways and your mind. See, his name is Jesus. God on the earth is through Christ Jesus. The Father and the Son, Jesus said, are one. Said, when you see one, you see the other. They are one. Somebody called Jesus that bright and morning star, the lily of the valley. He's God in the flesh. You got to let them know that Jesus loves them so much that he came and died for them. That he's the savior of the lost. That he's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there's nobody like him on the earth or all over the world. He is what he is. And that's why Jesus said one time, just like the Father, I am that I am. I am that I am. That's who I am. I am all that you need. He's also a friend that sticks it closer than a brother. Teach them that eternal life should be their primary purpose for living. Teach them that eternal life should be your primary purpose of living. If you're not living to get to heaven, then you're living to go to hell. It's the word. That's where you're going. You got to make a mind. Look, my purpose is to get to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. And I want to live to go to heaven, to be there with them. And that's got to be your way of living. Because if you don't live that way, you're living another way. And that way is to go to hell. And I can't find nobody that I met that wants to go to hell. I find them who don't believe in it, but they don't want to go. You got to teach them that Jesus said he'll be with you. Look what he said here in the end of verse 20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your friend. And he also said that I'm sending you a comforter. He is the Holy Ghost. He is God in the spirit. And he will lead and guide you to all truth. Jesus said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. So every witness must be confident and assured that Jesus left, and he left with a promise. Jesus has left you and I with a promise. And that promise is, I'll be with you.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. That's conditional on that you know who God is. Conditional on that you know who you are. Conditional on that you know who Jesus is. If you don't know, if you get those mixed up, then the conditions have been changed. They are based on you and I knowing who God is. You and I knowing who we are. You and I knowing who Jesus is. If we miss them and get them out, then you have failed. You have missed the whole boat. You know that old saying, you're in a boat going upstream with no paddle. And you don't want to be in that position. So we have to be about the Lord's work. We have to be about evangelizing. We have to be about witnessing. We have to be about teaching the truth and the word of God. We have to be busy about the Lord's work. If you go with these in mind, and I know, you know, some of you already use it, and that's good, but one of the things that I don't know how much God will allow us to know when we go to heaven. I have no idea. We think we know that we're going to know our relatives and our loved ones, and how we know, we don't know how it's going to be. Ain't nobody been there and came back and told. None of us did. No, only Jesus had come down. But he just told them what they needed to know. And some questions that you might have, he did not answer. But you got to know that you must have these things in order. You must be a witness. In order to be a witness, you got to be an example. That means you got to be born again. I can't witness to you if I'm telling you what to do, but I'm not living it. I can't witness to you. I'm a liar to you. I got to be doing what I'm telling you that God is requiring of you. I got to be doing that myself. That's the part that a lot of folk have a problem with. That's that parent, like we talked about last Sunday. Do as I say, but not as I do. And that's where we have our problem. So I'm asking you to go forward this week. Choose someone in your mind. Somebody in your family, maybe a neighbor. But let them know they must be born again. And go through the process with them. You ain't got to get your book out and say, look, okay. It says that I got to evangelize first. I got to teach them first. No. The Spirit of God will lead you. Sometimes somebody already gave them. Somebody, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So sometimes you don't have to say some stuff. I already know that. I already know, okay? Tell them what you know. And then you go ahead from there. But you have to do that. That's what God requires of you and me. He requires that of us. And when you do that, and you see somebody give their life to Christ, you talk about excitement and joy? Earth has no joy like that. When they come to Jesus. So you know, the first thing is your family, if you can. Of course, I know they're the hardest group. And they might dissuade you and put you, said, oh man, I don't want to bother with this. This is hard business. I know. Because the family is a tough group. Jesus said that one occasion. A prophet is not heard in his own home, own country. A prophet is not heard. So you're going to be hard to speak on some of your own folk. But do the best you can. Amen. Amen. Let's stand upon our feet.